Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Who's ready for the word of God today? Matthew 5. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. That's not very fun, is it? That's not a great way to start the Sunday morning on our live stream to all our locations. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Then Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. Isn't that great? He didn't say, I'm going to make you happy. He says, rejoice. You be glad because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then he goes to say, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything or useless except to be thrown out and stepped on, trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Can we give God a big shout of praise for that incredible text? Thank you so much, worship team. Give your worship teams a big hand as well, everyone. This was actually the text that the Lord first gave me when we planted our church 21 years ago. And so today I want to bring our church back to, as we tail ending the end of 2025, the end of our 21st year, I want to bring us back to this thought, the salty church. That's what I'm going to preach on today, the salty church. So Jesus gives this sermon on the mount and talks about two distinct change agents. One is salt, the other is light, and he's using them to reveal his desire for how we, the church, ought to be in this world. And so today we're going to focus on the salt part. Is that okay? Right? So if you're a Gen Z or a Gen Z, if you're American, you probably use the word salty as a slang word to describe. It's not a very flattering, it's quite a pejorative term, right? Like it's to describe someone that maybe is a little bit narky, a bit critical, a bit bitter, a little bit easily offended, a bit prickly, especially when they don't get their way. That's like a salty person. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I think this can be true of us Christians sometimes too, that we can be salty the Gen Z way. But we want to talk about being salty the different kind of way today. Is that okay? Because I think sometimes we're salty for no real apparent reason. For those of us that are, many of you that are in this building right now, those of you that are watching the screen right now, you drove, many of you, in air-conditioned cars, and you're listening to this sermon in nice buildings that are air-conditioned. You drove in you know, nice cars. You probably got someone ushered you into your seat. Someone's probably looking after your kids right now. And after the service, someone's probably going to make you a coffee. And yet we can still find reasons to be salty sometimes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? But that's not the kind of salty Jesus is asking us to become. In Matthew 5, he was giving a discipleship sermon on this Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying to the disciples, this is what it looks like if you want to follow me. When you follow me, it's highly likely, Jesus said, that you are going to be persecuted. In our modern vernacular, you're probably going to be insulted, mocked, canceled. Yeah. Right? But then he goes on to remind his disciples that you are salt. Yeah. He doesn't say that you are going to be like salt or occasionally going to behave like salt. He says you are salt. That's who you are. That's your identity. Identify as that. And traditional rabbinical teachings or the Jewish way would often take profound spiritual truths, and to explain those profound spiritual truths, the teacher would use highly relatable things. And in this instance, he uses the word salt. And immediately, the first century hearer, when he hears the word salt, it would conjure up four mental images or pictures. And the first picture would be this, that salt, when it's first mentioned, is that the understanding is that salt changes the taste of food. And to this day, there wouldn't be very many savory dishes that would have salt in it. In fact, if you were to eat a savory dish and it was not seasoned at all, you'd probably go, whoa, that's a bit average, isn't it? right? But salt is a change agent when it comes to cooking. It enhances food, it enhances flavor. And the thing about salt is when you sprinkle salt or grind salt onto food, it permanently changes it. You can't unsalt a curry. Hello. Right? The second picture is that salt arrests the process of decay. In the days before Samsung, LG, Fisher & Paykel, Bosch fridges, the primary way of preserving things is to dry or wet brine things. You understand that, right? Meats, vegetables, etc. It's a way to cure it or to preserve it. It arrests the process of decay. The third picture that salt conjured up to the first century hearer was that salt disinfects. It was a commonly used disinfectant to clean wounds and sores and ulcers. It was widely recognized as being effective in killing bacteria. Even right now, if you were good to go to your doctor, you complain about my throat's a little bit sore. What do they say? Go home and do a salt gargle. Yeah. It's known to have disinfectant properties. You understand that? The fourth mental picture is that salt heals. Everyone in the first century understood that salt was recognized for healing properties. Even right now, many of you girls, when you want to take a bath, you go and buy these bougie Epsom salts, put it in your bath, and you lie there in that warm bath, salted water, putting cucumbers on your eyes, going, you suddenly feel relaxed, and it's recognized for muscle recovery and circulation and de-stressing and relaxation. I'm not about to give you a naturopathic workshop right now, but I'm simply here to tell you that when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, he's saying you are the change agent to your world. You are the one that arrests the process of decay in your community. You are the one that disinfects what is toxic in your world. You are the one that is anointed to promote healing and restoration wherever you go. You are the salt of the earth. And when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in the upper room, what was birthed on the earth was not a Gen Z type of salty church that complained about anything and everything. The kind of salty church that Jesus died and rose again and ushered in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come upon us to become was the kind of church that was a change agent to whichever city we were planted in. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Right? To arrest the process of decay, to detoxify a toxic community, and to promote healing and restoration. In other words, Jesus is saying, wherever you find my people, you should find evidence of saltiness. Wherever you find somebody who calls themselves a Christian, you should find evidence of saltiness. And you got to understand that the church was never meant to be an insular club. We weren't made, the ecclesia, the church, the gathered church was not meant to be this little place where we find our clique and then we stick only to our clique. And then after a time when life stuff changes, we get one person in our clique leaves it for some reason and the rest of the clique gets upset and then it's all of that sort of stuff and find me a new clique. That's not the way Jesus pictured saltiness. Because he goes on to say this in verse 13, if the salt loses its saltiness, or that saltiness isn't manifestly experienced, how can it be made salty again? And he goes all savage on this. He goes, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, in the 21st century, with our, very highly technological way of refining salt these days, it's highly unlikely that salt can go bad per se or lose its saltiness over a short period of time. But the application is still the same. Jesus is saying if the saltiness that's in the salt inherently isn't experienced, isn't used, then Jesus said it's useless. And then he uses quite a brutal takedown. He said it is no good for anything more than to be trampled or stepped on. Wow. Now, the first century hearers, when they heard that, anything pertaining to feet is like what? Like even Paul says the devil is under our feet. He's trampled on. Do you understand that? Yeah. It's quite a brutal way to say that if you aren't salty, if the saltiness that's on the inside of you isn't manifestly felt, then it's no use to anyone. Wow. If you're not used as a change agent, if you don't deploy your life to disinfect, to arrest the process of decay, to promote healing and restoration, then it's just not much use. Then it should be trampled underfoot. And I'm here to remind you, Nations Church, salt is useless if it stays inside the grinder. Salt's useless if it stays inside the grinder. How many of you know what this is? It's a salt grinder. For those of you North Americans, you would call it a salt mill, because you're talking feet and gallons and inches and miles. You can call it a salt mill. The rest of us, we're going to call it a grinder. We're going to work with the term grinder today. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Right? And somewhere along the way, I don't know how it happened, but salt like you and I, salt granules like you and I, started to make it about how awesome the grinder is. And then we started comparing grinders on Instagram. Oh, look, I'm part of this cactus-looking grinder. It's awesome. We're quite organic, quite loose. I'm part of this grinder. It's a big grinder. Awesome, got everything in it. I'm part of this grinder over here, which is, oh, this has got pepper as well, quite multicultural. I like that, you know. Oh, I'm part of this grinder here. This is a front, what's this? Oh, this is like a Pentecostal grinder. Power. Power grinder. I'm part of this. And we start comparing grinders, and then we check out the grinder's website before we visit the grinder. And what happens is that we created our version of Christianity is simply salt granules swapping grinders. You guys aren't getting this. Our whole version of Christianity is swapping grinders. And then after a while, we start to rate grinders. We do grinder hopping. Salt granules jumping from one grinder to the next, and we salt grinder hop. And then when we get to a grinder, we check it out. Does it have a nice building? Yeah, it's not bad. You know, good entrance, good seats, but you know, the foyer is a bit small. 7 out of 10. And then we go check out another grinder over here, and it's not bad. And then we start checking out the top of the grinder. What's the top of the grinder like? Oh, is he cool with tats and baggy jeans and like cool dude? Or is he like bald and Asian and boring? 5 out of 10. You know what I'm talking about? Nice guy, but you know, disabled son, you know, we give him 5 out of 10. So it's good. We start checking out. We start checking out and rating grinders. Come on, how many of you know that's not the kind of salty Jesus was talking about? Right? And after a while, we say stupid stuff like, oh, you know, the grinder's now too big. I think I might go to a smaller grinder because everyone knows me in the smaller grinder. None of this is biblical. None of this salt grinder business was even mentioned by Jesus. When he says, you are the salt of the earth, immediately the early hearers understood what it was like. That salt's never meant to be inside the grinder. It's meant to be sprinkled out on the community. Come on, somebody. There's something very special about a Christian that understands their place in this world. We are a salty kingdom people. We have one purpose, and that is to salt the world that we live in. And for as long as I'm your pastor, my job is not to keep salt granules happy inside the grinder. My job as the top of the grinder is to grind you out. You might not be very happy about it, but I'm gonna grind you out, because you don't, you come in here to be fed, kept fresh, but ultimately you were meant to salt the earth. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? Because when we die on the other side of eternity, I promise you, God's not going to be asking you, did you like the grinder you were in? Yes. All the 7 grinders that you were a part of, which one had the nicest coffee? He's not going to ask you that. When we stand before an audience of one, he's going to say, you might have come from the Holy Ghost power one, or you might have come from the small little coals one. It doesn't matter. Were you salty for the world you lived in? Well, you're salty for the community I set you in. Because if we're not salty, who's going to be? Yeah. If we don't get ground out onto the earth, who is going to be? Yeah. You guys catching this? You know, the last couple of years, I've been able to travel a bit more than the first 19, 20 years of leading our church. And just about 3 weeks ago, I flew from Perth, caught a couple of legs of flights to get to Auckland, New Zealand. And so flying from Perth to Sydney is also is far already. That's like just under 5 hours. Had a few hours layover, plane was delayed, caught the flight from Sydney to Auckland, boarded the flight. Now, it was scheduled to arrive in midnight Auckland time. And when I got on that plane, you know, as you do, you put your bags up on the thing and you sit down. And I'm one of these blessed people to be able to sleep on planes. Thank you, Jesus. So I was ready. Chrissy gets so jealous. When we fly together, she wants to talk, I'm going to sleep, right? That particular flight, I had my Jensen bought me noise-canceling headphones. What a blessing. I was ready to put them on, have the meal, go to sleep. The flight's going to be real short. I'm going to wake up. It's going to be Auckland. Ta-da. Wonderful. Hit the ground running. Preach the gospel. I'm the man, right? There was a lady that was not unlike Chrissy who checked in beside me and sits down, right? So as I was putting my headphones on, reclined my seat, everything, she taps me on the shoulder and says, oh, you know, before you go to sleep, can you just let me out? I want to just use the toilet. I said, fair enough, you know, better than being straddled over. Like, yeah, that's a whole other story that happened to me once as well. She goes to the toilet. I wait for her. She gets into her seat again. And as I'm about to put my headphones in close to my eyes, she sticks her hand out and says, hi. I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Hi, I'm so-and-so. And we began to chat. She begins to share. You know, as you begin to share, they ask you, what do you do? And I had to confess the fact that I'm a pastor. Flying to preach the word of God. I want to stay inside though. She begins to share that she was a grandmother, and she shared that one of her children, when she was 8, passed away tragically from an illness, and she began to share that she's now got a granddaughter to another one of her daughters, and her granddaughter has been diagnosed with a serious terminal illness, and she was starting to share, you know, and I just felt the love of God for her. And cut a long story short, we talked that whole way from Sydney to Auckland, and as you know, I knew that we were probably half an hour from landing, and I thought, oh, I'm going to pray for this lady. So here I was in the cabin. I'm super self-conscious. I would love to tell you this happens all the time. This has been a long time since this happened, right? But I grabbed her hands and I started to pray. And I prayed that she would experience the love of God and that Jesus would manifest himself real to her. And, you know, gave her lots of contact details. She lives in Sydney, and gave her details of all different things that she could do when she was there to kind of follow up her faith and all that sort of stuff. All that to simply say that I wanted to stay inside the grinder because life's so much better in there. I love the grinder. It's comfortable in there. And I'm super self-conscious. I don't want to be sprinkled out. But the expectation in the first century is that they weren't meant to be inside the grinder. They understood straight away in the Sermon on the Mount that salt's meant to be dispensed or spread out to be the change agent of the world. That's why Paul says in Colossians 4, verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity, even on planes. Every opportunity. At the bus stop. At your local coffee shop. What's your opportunity? What's every opportunity look like for you? Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Come on, somebody. So that you may know how to answer everyone, seasoned with salt, not judgmental, hateful, come on, seasoned with salt. And I think for so many of us, we like to see ourselves as two separate people. When we're in the church, we're in the church. But then when we're outside of the church, in work and in our sporting club, no one knows that we're Christian. We kind of keep the two separate. When we're salt, when we're inside the grinder, but then we're nothing outside of it. You follow me so far? We swing the other way for some of us. We go, oh, well, we don't want anything to do with the world. We just stay. We want to cover ourselves and circle ourselves with 100% Christians. Yeah. Have you guys heard of exclusive brethren? It's like being exclusive Pentecostal. Exclusive. No one else is allowed into my world. Yeah. That's not how it's meant to be. Because Jesus says that he prayed this for his disciples. He said, Father, I pray this. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. John 17, as you sent me, here's the salt out of the grinder stuff. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them, ground them out into the world. What Jesus was saying was this: we are the gathered ones in the church, but we also need to be the sent ones to the world. The whole idea of salt, which, you know, you can use other things there, light, fragrance. The Bible uses that. We were meant to be the culture changers of the world. Atmospheres should change when we exist. Environments should change. One, you go into a completely darkened room where it's pitch black, turn one little light on, put your flashlight on your phone, immediately every eye is drawn to it. Because if we aren't salty, who will be? Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are ground out of the salt grinder and sent? Yes. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Can we give God a big shout of praise? Salt out of the grinder. Is this helpful to you guys? Having said all that, the Bible does, however, take us one step back to tell us that before we become salty to our world, we need to be salty with each other first. Not the Gen Z kind of salty, but the Jesus kind of salty. So Jesus teaches the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, we just read before. Sometime later, he takes his disciples away again to Capernaum. And the disciples, after walking with Jesus for a little bit, after even hearing that they should be salty to the world, start bickering with each other. And they start to compare who's the greater disciple. In fact, they start to talk about who's the greatest of all. Who's the goat disciple? I do this and I'm his favorite and he talks to me more. He spends more time with me and I've got more access to him. They start to bicker with each other. Now, how many of you know nothing's changed in 2,000 years? There's a bit of one-upmanship going on. They start comparing. They get all petty with one another. And Jesus begins to say this in Mark 9. This is Sermon at Capernaum now. Verse 50. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? This sounds very familiar. So if you're a disciple, I've heard this now. Yeah. I understand this. Yeah. So Jesus, you're talking about us being salty to the world, right? We know this now. But Jesus changes tack. He says, you must have the qualities of salt among yourselves, disciples, and live in peace with each other. Oh man, you guys aren't getting this. Before we can be truly salty to the world, we've got to stay salty to each other. See, we'll never be salty to the world if there's division amongst us and we don't walk in unity. Come on, somebody. We have no chance of being the change agents to a divided, toxic, grieving, painful world if we aren't salty to each other and bring, come on, healing and restoration. And we have no chance of being salty to the world if the Reformed people hate the Pentecostals and the Baptists hate the Anglicans and the, come on. We got to stop this crazy business of fighting with each other. Jesus says, be salty among yourselves and live in peace with each other. There is actually a call for salt granules to bring the best out of each other, to enhance the flavor of each other. We should arrest the process of decay in each other. We should disinfect the wounds of each other. We should heal and refresh the weariness of our souls in each other. And I feel that there's times I know so many of my own friends, pastors, that stand up in pulpits trying to encourage their churches to be salty in their world, but they're tearing each other apart inside the grinder. Yeah. Wow. My prayer for us is that we're salty inside the church and we're salty outside the church. We're salty inside of the church so that we can be salty outside of the church. Come on, somebody, across all locations, give God a big shout of praise. And so my prayer at Nations Church is that as we land 2025, we are going to have the saltiest lead up to Christmas we have ever had. That's my prayer. How many of you ready for that? We're going to have the saltiest lead up to Christmas we've ever had. You understand that salt speaks about us. It speaks speaks to us. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciples, people are going to want to mock you for how you use your time. They're going to want to mock you for how much you're at church in the lead up to Christmas. They're going to want to mock you for how you use your talents, how you use your money. You're going to understand that's part and parcel, but they're going to mock you because you are actually the salt of the earth. Yeah. When they realize who you are, something changes. And Jesus says, you know, your talents are your salt. Your time is your salt. Your gifts are your salt. Your presence is your salt. The anointing that's on your life is salt. Do you know what else is our salt? It's our money. Our finances. Because our money is our life in exchangeable form. Salt is the tradable currency of our life. And so more than just sharing our faith, we're going to make a difference in this lead up to Christmas with our generosity, with our finances. And as we do in the lead up to Christmas every year, we're going to be taking up our reach offering. So on the 30th of November, across all our locations, we're going to be taking up our reach offering and say, hey, money, you're going to be salty. You're going to be salty. And you're going to go to all the local and overseas missions initiative on the lead up to Christmas, where we're going to be so tempted to sprinkle salt on gifts under a tree. We're going to start sprinkling salt on gospel programs, on preaching the gospel, on giving aid to third world nations. Come on, somebody. We're going to be the kind of church that understands, just like salt inside the grinder, our money is no use in our bank account if it's not expended on things that have eternal value. Do you understand that? Every year when we take up our reach offering in November, maybe you're new to church, this is what we do annually. Whenever we take up an offering in November, it is then dispensed across the following year. Do you understand that? So in 2024, November, we took up our reach offering, which was dispensed throughout all of 2025. And we are now able to see through a reach report where all of that money has gone. It's like an impact statement of where all our money has gone. So you can avail yourself to that. There's a link coming up on screen just to give you an idea. So whatever we give goes to everything outside of the four walls of church. Do you understand that? You can also get this on the website, etc. You can take your time to look at it. Don't look at it right now because I'm still preaching. But you can, you know, have an idea of that. But here's the thing. The reason why we do this so close to Christmas is because I want to remind our church that we're not just about buying things at Christmas time, but we're about being salty on the earth with our time, our talents, and our finances. And the older I get, I just want to own less things and reach more people with my finances. That's my desire. And so, you know, Reach Sunday, where we take up our offering on the 30th of November, I believe is going to be an incredibly holy day, because it's going to be the day where we decide that our life in tradable, exchangeable form gets to go to cities we may never visit, to reach people we may never meet, to show the love of God to people groups that we might not be immediately personally called to, but our partner and organizations will, to go into local community and things and places where we can't physically go. What I love about money is that we get to say to it what it needs to do to fulfill kingdom. It can presence us where we aren't physically at. Do you understand that? The power of salt when it's out of the salt shaker. And across the whole Christmas period in Nations Church, every campus will be doing things locally to become the salt of the earth to their local communities. So Phnom Penh and Cork and Bunbury, Port Kennedy, Belmont, Wangara, here at Myrie, we all have amazing local initiatives and opportunities, as well as different sort of Christmas services and all those different combinations and permutations. You can look all of that up on our website. Just put in your local campus name when you log in. But here's the thing. At Christmas time, we're going to declare to our local community to come and behold Him. We're going to salt ourselves onto a community that is in such desperate need to behold who Jesus really is. At a time where the commercialism is going to want them to behold the gifts and the activities and the purchasing of things that are going to end up on your junk verge collection in 2 years' time anyway. Yeah. We're going to encourage people to come and behold the hope of the world, the Prince of Peace, the King, the Savior. I don't know about you today, but there is a sense, I believe, that in 2025, this is going to be our saltiest Christmas ever.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.